Okay, so like I was telling y'all, I'm kind of the least likely candidate to be here because I came here several years ago kicking and screaming. I was numb, I was broken, and I was way too exhausted to be angry with God. In fact, people would talk about how angry they were, and I was like, I wish I had enough energy to be angry with God. And like I said, I can remember thinking, God, I know the Bible says you are with us, but are you for us? And are you for me? And if so, where are you? And how could you let all of this happen to me? So before I share my story, I know a lot of you have felt that way, and I want to let you know I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we are here. I'm sorry for the loss that has brought you here. I'm sorry that we will be spending the holidays without someone that we love. And I'm sorry that we're all part of the club that no one wants to be in, and that is the club of people that are intimately familiar with the pain of loss and of grieving. Like I said, my name is Ann. I grew up here in Dallas, and I started going to church before I could even walk. I feel like God really grabbed my heart early in life, and I learned to share my faith as a teenager, and I really enjoyed talking to my friends and my family about the free gift of grace that God had given me through Jesus Christ. And although I was no stranger to heartbreak, my faith really remained unshaken. Growing up, right around the corner from me was a really cute guy named Matt Piper. We knew each other from elementary school on through high school when we were in marching band together. And although we grew up together, our relationship didn't blossom really till it was super inconvenient when he was at college at Baylor and I was at school at University of Oklahoma. So after we wrapped up college and finished our degrees, we got married in 1989. 10 years later, we had our first son, Max. And 18 months later, to my surprise, we had our second son, Patrick. And our oldest son, Max, is kind of the quintessential firstborn. He was kind of born to follow the rule book. And Patrick came into this world with a lighter, determined to burn that rule book to a crisp. He is sweet, he's quirky, and really strong-willed. And Patrick does things on his own schedule. And so when Matt and I started noticing some of the delays in his development, especially in the areas of speech and social development, we wondered if it was rooted in something more serious. And at about 3 years old, he was diagnosed with autism and then several years later with epilepsy. So as we poured ourselves into learning how to help Patrick, I remember feeling really overwhelmed. I had no idea how we were both going to work full-time, raise two boys, and handle the financial and personal and emotional pressures of meeting the needs of a child with autism. The reason why it was so hard for me is I'm a planner. I like knowing what's next and planning for it. In fact, my Thanksgiving table is already set, and I know exactly what I'm cooking between now and Thursday. So that was having a kid with special needs. While he is a gift to me, it was not in my plan. But in spite of that, God really proved faithful. I experienced some of the biggest spiritual growth of my life as I learned more about daily dependence on God. God brought us here to Watermark and to a wonderful ministry that provides one-on-one care to kids with special needs on Sundays. God used other ministries here to help our son Max grow into the godly young man that he is today. And I can really see how God used Patrick to move us on a path towards greater dependence on him and living in community with other people. And in reflecting on God's faithfulness during that chapter of our lives really sustained me during some unimaginable heartbreak to come. In 2011, I was busy planning. I had all our stuff sorted out. The kids were headed to summer camp. I had all of the clothes organized for Max's first year in junior high, and I had started lining up babysitters and my plans to go on one of the discipleship trips that Watermark had planned for to go to northern Uganda. So I was going to be participating in that. So when a stomach virus sidelined me for a week or two, my plans slowed down just a little bit. The doctor assured me that it was just an ordinary virus, but she just wanted to do some precautionary tests to make sure that it wasn't my appendix so that I wasn't sick when I went to Uganda. So I was totally unprepared when the radiologist looked and said that he was pretty sure that my appendix was fine, but that he could see a large hard mass tumor in my kidney right behind my appendix. And I was floored when I was at Baylor a few days later and was diagnosed with renal cell carcinoma, which is a fancy word for kidney cancer. So rather than going on a trip to northern Uganda, I was home fighting kidney cancer. And I thought, Lord, what are you doing? This is not what I planned. One thing that's very clear to me now, but I could not see then, was that God was at work mightily in my life during that time. God used the hideous disguise of cancer to orchestrate something that I could not perceive at that moment, but I would be extremely thankful for years later. My husband Matt dropped everything when he found out that I had cancer. He did equipment sales in the sprinkler business, so summer was his very busiest season. In fact, we really hardly saw each other from June till the end of the summer. And we sure didn't ever take a summer vacation or anything like that. But as soon as the word cancer was spoken, he put work on hold. Before the surgery, we took a really fun family vacation with the boys. He was with me at the hospital and at home as I recovered from having my entire right kidney taken out. And we really spent more time together that summer as a family than we had since the kids got there. And you wouldn't think that cancer would usher in one of the best seasons of our marriage, but it really did. September 17th, 2011 really was an unremarkable day. I was 5 weeks past surgery. I was still healing and really tired. My husband mowed the lawn. Our kids played outside. We went for a walk. We ate some dinner and we watched football, which is a typical, you know, September night for us. The only thing that was different was that our air conditioner was out, and so the boys and I slept in our beds, and Matt chose to sleep out in our little sunroom where there's a little window AC unit so he could keep cool. I checked on him before we went to bed, asked if I could get him anything, and he said, just the only thing I want is bring me a cup of coffee when I wake up, and that was a tradition that we'd kind of maintained for our 21 years of marriage together. So I said, sure. Kissed him goodnight and told him I loved him. The next morning, September 18th, I woke up and quietly brewed a cup of coffee. But to my horror, I discovered that my precious husband had died in the night from what I would later learn was a complication from a massive seizure that he had. I dropped the coffee, I called 911, and I called a family member to help me, but it was way too late. And 2 weeks after his 45th birthday, my sweet husband, Matt, died. Every plan, every hope, and every dream that I had died that day. The boys were 11 and 12 at the time, and they obviously were left fatherless, and I was left with the overwhelming responsibility of raising them on my own. Since then, it has been a painful, tear-stained journey, and just to make it through each day has required a lot of help from friends and family that God put in my life. I wish I could stop here and go, oh, 4 years later, it's so much better. But that would not be entirely true. And I wish I had some secret tip on exactly how God sustained me as I've learned to live without Matt. But I'm still a work in progress. The only thing that I can say is that in my worst hours, God has been with me. I could not always feel the solid foundation under my feet. I couldn't always feel God's caring hands around me. But God was there, just like he was when Patrick was diagnosed with autism, and just like he was when I was diagnosed with cancer. When I think about it, God was at work when I was diagnosed with kidney cancer, and I was facing the real possibility that I would have been the one who wouldn't get to see our kids grow up. And yet I look at it and I see that God used cancer to weave a deeper level of love and commitment and joy into our family right when we needed it. I had absolutely no idea that summer just how short our time was going to be together. but God really did. As I cried and grieved in the months after Matt's death, I read this book, and it's called A Grace Disguised, and it's written by Jerry Sitzer. And Jerry writes about his journey of grief after losing his wife, his mom, and his youngest daughter in a horrific car accident. And like me, the author struggled to make sense of God's goodness in the wake of horrific loss. I identified with the doubt and pain that lingered as he moved forward with raising his kids, and just the hardship that he experienced raising such a large family on his own. But what he wrote midway through that book really stopped me in my tracks, and it gave me a glimmer of hope as I considered whether I really could survive the journey ahead of me. Here's what he wrote. On the face of it, living in a perfectly fair world appeals to me, but deeper reflection makes me wonder. In such a world, I might never experience tragedy, but neither would I experience grace. The problem of expecting to live in a perfectly fair world is that there is no grace in that world, for grace is only grace when it is undeserved. Rather than living under the cloud of doubt and depression, could I really find strength in the unmerited favor of God's grace? The answer to that question became clearer to me when I came to Grief Share and went through the 13-week class that you guys are going through. And I met a lovely circle of women that had really walked through the very, very similar losses to me, almost instant loss, just like me, of their spouse. And God had really done such a great job of weaving that group together. Week by week, we looked at God's word like you have and discovered more about what Scripture says about the comfort available to us through a personal relationship with Christ. And I was really inspired as I saw the women around me taking new steps of faithfulness and talking about their grief and gaining strength from God. And their strength and determination encouraged me to look for whatever joy could be found in each day in my relationship with Christ. Though it had been the foundation of my life for many years, the saving power of God's grace through Christ has never been more precious to me than it has over these last 4.5 years. Jesus not only assures me that my husband is experiencing the glory of eternal life, his grace has also given the boys and me a glimmer of hope in the darkest hours of our lives. And hope in my Savior, Emmanuel, which means God with us, has given me the strength to face the tiresome, grief-filled days that have come since then. That same hope is available to all of us today, no matter how far away hope feels at the moment. For me, grief, like a lot of you, grief has been an up-and-down journey. And sometimes I have looked for hope in a lot of the wrong places. I've looked for hope in the bottom of a pint of ice cream. I've looked for hope in the bottom of a bottle of wine. And I have looked for hope at North Park. And that none of that helped, in case you're curious. And I was absolutely convinced most of the time that the debilitating emotional pain was going to last forever. And I was sure that I was never going to experience a moment of joy again. But over the last 4 years, I've experienced healing in Christ. Do I still hurt? Absolutely. I cried a lot of the day on Friday thinking about talking to you about this. But the hurt is more manageable 4 years into this. And there really have been many moments of joy with the boys and with my friends. Those moments are bittersweet sometimes, but I can truly say that I have found my hope in Christ. So as we contemplate a Thanksgiving without the ones we love, I ask you, if you know the God that we lift our thanks to this November, do you know Jesus, whose birth we celebrate this Christmas? If you do, my prayer is that we would all do, as it says in Hebrews 10:23, and hold tightly to the hope that we affirm, because God can be trusted to keep his promises. But if you do not know my Jesus, would you talk to someone about that today? We all know the hard way that life can change dramatically in an instant. So I pray that you would trust in Christ, the one who holds our eternity in his hands, the one whose grace offers the strength to sustain us no matter what life brings us. God is for you. God is for me. His name is Emmanuel. God is with us. And he longs to comfort us during Thanksgiving and Christmas and the days to come. All we have to do is ask him.